You're listening to Radio Boston. I'm Yasmeen Ammer in for Tiziana Deering. Grief. Most of us have experienced it, whether we've lost someone close to us or had our lives change in some profound way. These past few years of the COVID pandemic have brought on a lot of grief. Millions of people died. A lot of us spent months isolated from one another. These hard times have especially affected children, forcing them to cope with losses and changes during formative years in their lives. So, how do we help our children manage grief in a healthy way? And how can that help us as adults process our own feelings of loss? So, in today's edition of Be Well, we're joined by Maureen Patterson-Feedy. She's a social worker, clinician, program manager at Good Grief. That's a pediatric grief counseling program with the Boston Medical Center. Thank you so much, Maureen, for being here.
Thank you for having me.
I want to hear what brought you to grief counseling. How did you start this?
Well, to be honest, I kind of came to this work a little kicking and screaming, if you will. I think, like most of us, have carried grief experiences throughout my life. And when the opportunity to move into this role presented itself, I wasn't entirely sure about it. And what ended up happening was, as I kind of got more and more involved in the work, it really was reminiscent of a lot of other ways that I've worked and supported children in the past. And I found that there's just such a power and really something that can be healing when we're able to kind of more directly confront grief and sit with families and kind of help them navigate these experiences. So it's funny you should ask that, because it wasn't something that kind of pulled me in. It chased me down, more or less. But now that I'm here, I'm really, really happy and really engaged in this work. It's been really meaningful to me.
Wow. So in your work at BMC, what are some of the differences you see in how children process grief and the way that we handle grief as adults?
Great question. So I think if I were to kind of break it down, I see three big things that come up for me. So primarily, one of the biggest differences we see between children and adults is just the way that we cognitively understand death and dying and loss. And so as adults, we can carry a more complex concept. And when we actually look at death and break it down, we see that there's a lot of pieces to it, right? To understand death means we understand it's irreversible. People don't come back after they die. It means that death is final. So all parts of our body stop working when someone dies. There's a cause to death. Death is universal. All living things eventually die. And then there's also this piece around what happens after someone dies. And that's going to be influenced by your belief systems, your values. And what I often see is that as adults, we kind of take that really nuanced understanding of death for granted when we're talking to kids about death and dying. And how I kind of commonly see this come up for families is adults will sit down with a child, a young child, and say something like, "This person, I have some sad news to tell you. This person that we love in our family, now they're in heaven, or now they are somewhere else." And although that's a really important way to talk to kids and support their understanding, it also kind of misses a lot of the other pieces that they developmentally and cognitively need to understand a loss.
So more on that, because I want to hear maybe the youngest child you've had a talk to about that loss, about death. What are some of the things that you said that you think have worked, and how did they process it?
Sure. Well, one point of clarification that I like to bring up is that oftentimes we as the team at Good Grief are not the people who are providing this information to kids. We often try to work really holistically with family systems, because we think it's important that when kids are hearing this important information, that they're hearing it from someone that they love and trust. And so a lot of our work is supporting family systems, caregivers, and thinking about what language makes sense for your family to share this information.
So it can differ based on family and culture.
Absolutely. Gotcha. We have to make room for that. But to your question, we've worked with infants, and we're not sitting down and saying, okay, I have some news to tell you, but we're really thinking about how are kids responding to grief, and how do we start even really young creating a narrative that can grow with them? And so that may look like a little baby may not have the cognitive capacity to understand a death loss like we do, but we may work with the caregiver so they have language to say something like, that picture is of your daddy. Your daddy died. That means we don't get to see your daddy anymore. And that's something that makes me feel really sad. And a lot of times as caregivers get more practiced in having that information, saying that information to their children, then they can grow that narrative as that child grows and has more questions like, what was daddy like? How did daddy die? And so that lost narrative grows and builds with the child.
I think what I'm really gathering from what you're saying, one, it's really interesting that the youngest is actually an infant. So that tells me it's never too young to have these conversations, but also that you do need to let these conversations actually breathe and come about and try not to hide them or think that it is like not avoid the topic of death, because it sounds like children can actually cope with it a lot better than you think.
Yeah, we've found that a lot of times where the confusion or misconceptions come from is when kids don't have access to information. The former director of our program borrowed a phrase from Mr. Rogers, and Mr. Rogers always said, if it's mentionable, it's manageable. And the way that we kind of think about that is if we put it on the table, then there's something to talk about. There's ways that we can work through it together. Whereas if it's off the table, if we're not talking about it, then we don't really have a way of connecting. And I think that that's really kind of the centerpiece to the work that we do with families, is figuring out how do we get something that's really painful and really hard to talk about on the table.
If you're just joining us, we are talking about how to help children and adults process grief and loss with Maureen Patterson-Feedy. She's a program manager at Boston Medical Center's Good Grief Program. I do want to actually, I'm just dying to play this clip. So some films and shows like Disney's Pixar's Inside Out have tried to make grief relatable to kids. So if you watch that movie, emotions like anger, sadness are characters that exist inside of a middle school girl named Riley. So here's one scene where it shows the emotion sadness comforting Riley's old imaginary friend as he grapples with being forgotten as Riley gets older.
I'm sorry they took your rocket. They took something that you loved. It's gone. Forever.
Sadness. Don't make him feel worse.
Sorry.
It's all I had left of Riley.
I bet you and Riley had great adventures.
Oh, they were wonderful. Once we flew back in time, we had breakfast twice that day.
Sadness!
It sounds amazing. I bet Riley liked it.
Oh, she did. We were best friends.
Yeah, it's sad.
God, I love that movie. actually, this scene was helpful for me because I remember watching it and I remember thinking, I don't know, I think as people, we really rush to try to fix things and make things go away. And I love how in that scene, it was like, oh, you know, I bet that makes you sad, you know, like, you know, just keep talking about it. And so, I mean, for adults and children, I am wondering, how do we comfort people?
Absolutely.
What is a good way to comfort somebody who's experiencing grief?
Well, it's such a great clip because it also focuses on like the duality that we often see of like, do we entertain this or do we just kind of say, no, 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 like, let's move it along. Let's hurry it up. And I think a lot of times where that move it along kind of narrative comes from is a really protective place, because we don't want to see our kids sitting in intense feelings or, feeling like we're not doing something to support them. But in actuality, you know, go sadness. We want kids to be able to just feel what they're feeling. We want to give that voice. We want to give it expression because we don't want them to feel alone in it. If they're kind of getting messaging that it's not okay to cry, where do they go when they have to cry? Or what do they do instead? And I think that one of the things that we really work on with kids and families is just trying to name, identify what those feelings are and give them a place, give them some validation and normalize them, right? It makes sense to feel sad, and being connected to memories of double breakfast is really important and can really serve us later on when we're trying to make connection to someone who we don't have access to.
Yeah, so we're trying to kind of build that sort of like resilience and understanding and the ability to like create your own narrative for kids, but just like to make sure with adults too. Like if I'm comforting a friend who just lost a loved one who is an adult, do you think it's the same sort of thing? Like is it just listen, or should I fight the urge to say it's going to be okay?
One of the biggest things that we hear in a lot of our work, we work with kids. Kids come with families. So we do a lot of work with parents and caregivers as well. And, you know, a lot of folks tell us, they come in and we don't have to say or do too much. And what they, at the end of that time together, say is, no one's really just sat and listened to me. And so I think that that's just giving folks a space for their whole story or their whole set of emotions to be and be validated can be so, so powerful. I'm connected to a lot of other bereavement and grief agencies, and one of the things that folks often talk about is saying the name of the person, you know, or reaching out on Father's Day to say, hey, I'm thinking about you on Father's Day, and I'm really missing this memory of your dad. And being able to share and connect in that kind of lets folks know, oh, I've got some commonality. I have someone who's interested in hearing what is really going on for me, not just the it's going to be okay parts of me.
You've spoken in the past about there being something called a racial grief gap, with Black and brown children experiencing more deaths at younger ages on averages than their white peers. I want to know if you've seen that in your work, and if we can, how do we narrow that gap?
Yeah, absolutely. So there's a lot of work and research being done looking at how childhood bereavement fits into the ongoing narrative around systems of oppression, as well as health equity. And we do see the folks that we work with kind of, we see those numbers play out within our program, that we are serving more Black and brown kids. They have experienced several losses. Usually we have a primary loss that they're referred for. And as we work with families, we learn that there's much more behind that. And I think that, you know, kind of building off of what you were just talking about in the last segment, I think that there's so much work to be done around how do we kind of understand the interrelatedness of health experiences, and how do we figure out these ways that we can more comprehensively support folks, particularly folks in communities of color. And I think that also there's a really wide research gap. You know, we're not doing the best research, and we're not eliciting the best information to know what are the particular ways that we can best provide support to families of color, children of color. But I think it first starts with just really being able to recognize and respond to their losses in a supportive way.
And I would love to ask you, because we talked a lot about, you know, obviously grief, we connect to like losing a person, but what's one piece of advice you'd leave us if we're trying to overcome grief with something that's changed in our lives? But and just in like in the last 30 seconds we have left.
I think the biggest thing is being able to find a place to talk about it. We've talked about this, that narrative is so important, and it supports our meaning making. And keeping it inside isn't really going to be a way that supports us to feel more whole and complete.
Well, that was Maureen Patterson-Feedy, Program Manager at Boston Medical Center's Good Grief Program. Thank you so much.
Thank you.